You moved abroad for freedom, not confusion. But your money, your taxes, and your U.S. ties didn't stay behind. I'm Janice Diaz, an American living in Italy with more than 25 years in U.S. and global financial services. My co-host, Robert Rigby Hall, is a dual U.S.-UK citizen who spent his career leading international firms and developing cross-border teams. Together for over a decade, we've built financial education for Americans abroad and U.S.-connected families, helping you rethink what really follows you and how to make smarter decisions wherever you live. Welcome to Rethink Expats.
When politics travels with you, why U.S. policy changes still affect your life abroad. Please note, this show is for education. It is not tax, legal, or investment advice. Always speak with a qualified professional about your situation.
You may live in Lisbon, London, or Lima, but the United States can still be on your wallet. Not because of politics you debate at dinner, but because rules made in the U.S. can change how you file, how you bank, and what happens to your money when you pass it on. Today, we are not doing politics. We are doing practical.
We'll share simple stories, what to look out for, and the exact questions you can ask a qualified professional. No jargon, just the stuff that helps you avoid surprises.
Three areas touch most Americans abroad. First, yearly filings that follow your passport. Second, local banking that can change its rules on U.S. clients. Third, legacy planning, when U.S. thresholds move. We will cover one short story for each and then give you a checklist to save headaches.
And if you remember only one line from this episode, remember this. You left the U.S., but the U.S. did not leave your wallet. Okay, so let's start with some examples, some simple stories. Let's meet Maria. She moved to Spain, opened a regular brokerage account, and bought the same local funds everyone around her used. At tax time, the account had asked her whether any of those funds might be treated differently by the U.S., and Maria was confused. The funds were normal in Spain. Why would the U.S. care? Well, some foreign mutual funds and certain pooled investments can be treated by the U.S. in a special category known as PFIC, P-F-I-C. If you're a U.S. person, that can mean extra paperwork and sometimes different tax treatment. We're not going into the details here, but what matters is your awareness.
Maria's lesson was simple. Before buying a local fund, ask one question. As a U.S. person abroad, would this require a special U.S. form each year? This is very important. If the answer is yes or maybe, ask a qualified professional what that means for your return cost and time. This is not about fear. It is about checking early so you do not have to untangle it later.
What we like about Maria's outcome is how she solved it. She listed every fund, asked which ones triggered any U.S. forms and reporting requirements, and chose a plan that kept her filing work predictable. The key word here is predictable. You want fewer surprises and more boring. If you hold local funds, make a one-page list. Name of the fund, country, account number, and a column that says any U.S. forms needed. Then a professional can fill that fourth column out for you quickly.
And our second story, the tiny threshold that is not tiny. Now let's meet Vic. He lived in Portugal with three small bank accounts. None felt big, but the combined total crossed a reporting line during the year. The rule cares about the total across accounts, not just one account. This is definitely where people get tripped up.
Vic learned to track the high water mark each year. Pick one day a month, write down the balances for every account, and keep the records in a safe folder. If your combined total goes over the threshold at any point in the year, a U.S. filing may be required. It's not hard once you set a routine. The hard part is remembering that the rule exists.
Vic's fix was a simple habit. Calendar reminder on the first business day of the month, snapshot of all balances, done. At the tax time, he did not guess. He showed the record and asked the professional, "Do I need to file the extra report this year?" The answer was clear and calm. Make a monthly money snapshot. Date, bank, name, last four digits of the account, and balance. Keep 12 entries a year. Your future self will thank you.
And then let's move on to our third story, which is the changing goalposts. Our last story is about legacy planning. A couple in the UK set up their plan years ago based on a high US estate tax exemption. They heard that the exemption could change after 2025 and didn't know if it would affect them. The lesson here is not to predict laws. The lesson is to know which part of your plan depends on a number that can move.
Here's a simple way to think about it. If you built your plan on today's exemption, add a reminder to review it when that number changes. Do not assume your plan still works the same. You may be fine. You may need a small tweak, or you may need a deeper review because you also live in a country with its own inheritance rules.
So the couple asked three questions, and you can copy them. The first one, if the U.S. exemption changes, does my plan still match what I want to happen? Two, how do the rules where I live interact with the U.S. rules? And three, if my spouse is not a U.S. citizen, does that change anything we should plan for? If you have a will or trust, add a calendar note to revisit it in the first quarter of next year. Bring a one-page summary of your accounts and where they're held. Then ask a qualified professional to check both countries' rules together.
So now let's talk about five red flag phrases to slow down on. So these are definitely red flags that you should be looking out for. Here are lines that should make you pause and verify. You live here now. U.S. rules don't apply. All local funds are fine for Americans. Small accounts do not count if they are in different banks. Your old plan is fine forever. We can fix everything later in one big move. Robert?
Yeah, you know, we hear people being told this. None of these are always true. They can be true for some people and false for others. The safe move is to slow down, ask for a short written note that explains the rules that apply to you, and save it for your records. That way, you've got absolute clarity on what the situation is.
So we actually developed a no-stress checklist for our audience that you can download off of our site. And so the checklist is a one-page inventory of accounts, bank, brokerage, pension, country, account number, last four digits. Mark any accounts with local funds. Ask whether any U.S. forms would be needed for those funds. Do the monthly money snapshot for your foreign accounts. Track the high water mark across all accounts. Put a reminder in your calendar to review your legacy plan when U.S. thresholds change. Keep a folder called U.S. filings. Save confirmation statements and written notes from professionals. This will keep you ahead of the game, and it'll also create a less stressed situation if you're keeping this all year.
We're both expats, and we do this on a regular basis. This is what we do for ourselves. And if you do these five things, you'll avoid the most common surprises that we see for other people. None of this is about politics. It's about keeping good records and asking clear questions.
You do not need to follow every headline. That's something that it's a bit of a trap for us. You know, by nature, we like to watch the news and see what's going on. But what we need to be doing is just keeping a simple system that checks whether a rule changes in our lives and how that affects how we need to be operating to get, you know, tax ready and investment ready and all of that stuff. And that's why we're talking about this today, is to raise that awareness.
You left the U.S., but as I said at the beginning, the U.S. didn't leave your wallet. Awareness keeps you from being blindsided. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.